when St. Thomas starts his treatise on morality, it's not really called that, but the whole of the second part, the first question he asks is, what does man seek? And the answer he gives immediately, it's happiness. We seek happiness. And then he goes through, point by point, all the things that we sometimes seek that can never really make us happy. And of course, the whole point of the exercise, if you will, is to help us to realize that only God can make us truly happy. And so when you think about that, in light of the act of faith, which is also something he treats of in his section on morality, that's a beautiful thing to think about, but also a challenging thing to think about. Today we listen to the reading in Genesis of Abraham sacrificing Isaac. And the stunning part for Abraham is not what's stunning for us. You know, 4,000 years later, when Abraham was told to take his son Isaac up the mountain and sacrifice him to God, he never questioned that. He took the young man, and he was a young man, he was not a little boy, and up they went to sacrifice Isaac. In Pope Benedict, when he comments on this, he said that would have not been a shock because all of the tribes around the Jews, all of the tribes amongst who Abraham was living, they regularly sacrificed their children to their false gods. And so for God to say, sacrifice your son, would not have been alarming to Abraham. And so up the mountain they go. But what was difficult for Abraham, and yet he did it, was a profound act of faith. Because we have to remember, Abraham is an old man. He's not like 50 or 60, he's like in his hundreds already. And he's gonna sacrifice his son, and he said, the God that he follows says, I am going to make a great nation out of you. And the act of faith that Abraham makes is that God will fulfill his promise, even though Abraham cannot see how that will ever happen. And of course, we know that God stays the hand of Abraham, and instead they offer a ram. Because although it's not in the story that we hear, Isaac actually says, we have everything for the sacrifice, but where is the lamb? To which Abraham replies, God himself will provide the lamb. So with Abraham's profound act of faith and God staying his hand, his son lives. And Abraham never lives to see the great nation that will rise out of his act of faith. But to this very day, every time we pray the Eucharistic prayer, the canon, the first Eucharistic prayer, we remind ourselves right after the consecration of three great figures in the Old Testament, Abel, Abraham, and Melchizedek. And with Abraham, we particularly remind ourselves of his great faith. Now, when we jumped into the gospel for today, the second Sunday of Lent is always the Gospel of the Transfiguration. The liturgical celebration happens in August, but Leo the Great says that this particular event, he said, first of all, it happened so that the apostles, particularly Peter, James, and John, that they would have their hearts comforted as they prepare to witness the Passion, that there's something greater than the death of Christ. And in a real way, that's going to take a great act of faith, one that will actually be made by Our Lady and St. John. And then it's also on this second weekend in Lent then, also for us, as a great reminder of what we're making an act of faith in. We are very tempted to seek our happiness in the very thing St. Thomas says will actually never make us happy. It doesn't matter if you get the highest honor in the land, if you have the most money, if you're the most respected person in the town. I mean, all these different things that we can seek our pleasure and happiness in, and we all know that not any of them can make us happy. And so it takes a profound act of faith that God gives us grace to make, that only He can make us happy. And the other part of that is the happiness is not promised in this life. And that's something that's hard. Anybody who has ever suffered in any way and maintained their faith, they can tell you how hard that can be to wake up and whatever the suffering is, whether it's physical or moral or emotional or psychological, we desire to be healed, and that's okay. But it does take a great act of faith to say, my happiness does not lie here, but in the next world. Even when St. Paul is writing the way he does today about if God is for us, who can be against us? The first thing he mentions is that the Lord's Son died for us. And he's pointing us not to living in the grand abundant life here, but into the fulfillment of the abundant life that comes from grace in glory. And so I think that's an important thing to meditate on in the beginning of Lent, the act of faith and where we're seeking our happiness. And then we also have another aspect of that when we go back to thinking about the different sufferings of life. And we all have them, and some have immensely more than others. Then we look up at that crucifix behind me, and we remind ourselves that God Himself gave meaning to suffering. That's also a great act of faith. And that our sufferings, joined to His, have a value that we cannot truly comprehend this side of the veil. When Mother Teresa was founding the order, the Missionaries of Charity, her good friend and supposed to be co-founder, she was, I can't remember, Danish or Norway, somewhere in the Nordic countries. She had to come home to get some things done, visas and all that, before she could go back to start the work. And while she was home, she wasn't feeling very good. And when she went to the doctor, she was diagnosed with an aggressive autoimmune disease, and she could never go back to Calcutta. And she wrote Mother a very teary letter of how sad she was that she would not be a part of the great work that God had inspired to take place in India. And Mother wrote her back and said a very difficult but beautiful thing. And she told her friend, "You'll never come to Calcutta to be a part of the founding, but how much God loves you to let you suffer like His Son. And your suffering will do more for our order than anything that I'm doing to get it started." That's a profound challenge of faith, because you don't always get to see the end. When Jesus was transfigured, He told the apostles that they were not to speak of it until He rose from the dead. And St. Mark tells us they didn't know what that meant. But yet they were steeled. They knew that there had to be something, because they saw the Lord, in a certain sense, transfigured into a little glimpse of the glory He would have in heaven. And that death does not have the final word. And I think we have to remind ourselves of that, that we do live in the veil of tears as we pray when we pray the Salve Regina, and that there are a lot of things on this earth that are unfair and hurtful, but when joined to Christ, redemptive. And when we make that act of faith, we remind ourselves that we do not live to seek glory on this earth, but we do live for glory, because we're meant for glory with the Lord in heaven.